Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Running a little late here for Ryan Geltzeiler. No Hawk today, so it's Crowder and Solana. Talking a lot of NBA, but National Selfie Day. I love people are texting, tweeting Channing Crowder selfies of them. So you think Brian Geltzeiler, the Hoops critic, takes selfies, like on a regular basis? You think so?
No, not just for himself. Like if somebody asks him or if he's with a celebrity or something cool behind him, but not just to say Wednesday morning sitting at a stop sign. That's when it's ridiculous to me.
I don't know. Maybe not. Let's ask him. Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood, 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Brian Geltzeiler, he's a friend of the program. You can hear him on SiriusXM's NBA Radio. You can also see him on NBA TV, and you can follow him on Twitter, at Hoops Critic. Geltzeiler, are you a selfie guy? You take selfies?
First of all, I got a question for Crowder. Is Solana sitting within arm's length of you right now?
Yes, he's close enough, Guilty. What you want me to do? Because I hope you say
smack
hit him
in the back of the head. I'm taking selfies. Listen, I take selfies. You're absolutely right. I take a selfie with a celebrity. I'll take a selfie with my kids because it's fun and it's cute with my kids. I think I'm sitting at a Tuesday at noon, and, I'm sitting at my desk. Let's smile and take a selfie and put it on my Instagram story. Yay! Right? Are you kidding me? I'm a grown-up, goddammit.
Thank you! Grown up,
no,
you hear that?
No, Guilty. Every now and then, you know, you're feeling good about yourself. You send a selfie to somebody, you post it up to IG. You got to get the likes on IG, Guilty.
Who needs a likes? What are you talking about? And let me ask. And that's the whole narcissist. This is a get off my lawn moment, Crowder. Watch what I'm going to do to Solana here. All right. Okay. This is the whole narcissist generation. No one cares that you're feeling good in the moment. You care. So you know what? Take a selfie and send it to yourself. All right? That's kind of where it ends. No one cares. All right? This is a Livia Soprano, Tony Soprano's mother, had it right, Solana. What makes you think you're so special? All right? Come on.
Guilty, I just sent you the selfie that Crowder and I took to start the show, okay?
Oh,
so whenever you get a second, feel free. And now I know. Now, wake up in the morning, take a selfie, send it to Geltzeiler. Start off my morning the right way.
Yeah, you never be successful.
You know, that is the express route to getting blocked, Solana. Explain that one to Hawk when he asked you to reach out to me to come on the show.
You selfied your way out of Geltzeiler. Don't do that to us.
Understood. Geltzeiler, we have to start here, right? Ben Simmons. I don't even know where to start with Ben Simmons. I'm just gonna say his name. Ben Simmons and what? Now what? Is he on the Sixers next year, right? Like, what happens with Ben Simmons?
I don't think so. And it's funny because it goes against everything Daryl Morey likes to do. He's a very big buy low, sell high guy. And this is going to be a sell low. But, with Joel Embiid's comments after the game, which, by the way, were galling to me. Whatever happens, you don't throw a teammate under the bus like that, especially when you have an egregious turnover with 44 seconds left in the game. You're eighth of the game, by the way. Mm-hmm. And you want to blame this on somebody else. The guys that win in this league take it on their own shoulders when it comes to losing and deflect credit when they win. Joel Embiid's the opposite. So But with that said, they're married to Embiid, so he's going to be staying there. He's going to be the guy. And you're not going to have two of them back together next year. And listen, Ben Simmons, we have to start with Ben Simmons. All your criticism you're seeing of Ben Simmons has to do with, well, when you're paid this way and you're the second star on the team, you can't not shoot in the fourth quarter. Well, if you're a superstar, you have to make your free throws. Has it ever crossed anybody's mind, even though he's paid like a superstar, that he's actually not a superstar? And the next team that gets Ben Simmons, if they're smart and they trade for him and put him a spot based upon what he is, not what they wish him to be or think he can be, that team will do very well with Ben Simmons. Ben, this is not a, you know, left for dead, he's nothing, he's worthless. It's not that. Ben Simmons has a lot of very good things he does on a basketball court. Guy's a transition monster. He finishes at the cup with both hands. He's a very good defensive player. A defensive player of the year quality defensive player? No, but a very good defensive player. And if you play him at point forward at the four spot, he will be really good for you because he's going to play primarily as a screener and screener role and play in the paint. Does he need to put the time in working on his free throws? He does. And he doesn't put the time. I don't care what anybody says. If you go and you shoot 500 a day in the offseason, you're not shooting 34% from the free throw line in the playoffs. I watch him work and at the free throw line. I watch what he does. He does not engage his lower body at all. His shooting form is not good because of that. His hands are fine. His arms are fine. But he doesn't engage his lower body. And so if he was putting the work in, all these things form-wise would be better. There's coaches lined up on that sideline willing to work with him on his free throws. He's got to want to do the work. So all this is a roundabout way of saying, though, Simmons is probably not going to be with the Sixers next year, but the right smart kind of team that brings him in and uses him for what he is, not what you want him to be, or not what he thinks he is, or what he wants to be, will be a team that does very well with him.
And Gelsey, speaking about Ben and his shooting, because that was something I was going to talk about too. Like, can he get better? Like, Alonzo Mourning wasn't the greatest free throw shooter, and he got better through his career. But I wanted to adjust it back to coaching with Doc Rivers. Like, I'm always guilty. I'm the guy that says when you get on coaches, bro, Doc was 0-for-0, and Doc didn't play defense on not one person on the other team. Those players win and lose that game. But watching that game last night, I was critical of some of Doc's decisions, who he put in the game, the substitutions. There were some things that I questioned about Doc. Did Doc have a lot to do with that loss?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'll take even a more global view, Crowder, about Doc having to do with the loss. But, yes, Doc has to do with the loss in the whole series. You know, it comes a certain point in time where it's not a coincidence that his Clipper team last year blew three double-digit leads, then blew a 3-1 lead in the second round and lost the series. And this team in Game 4 and Game 5 blows an 18-point lead and a 26-point lead, and then last night loses a game that they had no business losing. There's something about Doc's teams that play tight down the stretch of games. I don't know if Doc isolates himself from his assistants at times and doesn't necessarily take the things that are told to him. I think Doc's very opinionated and generally will have a staff. And I've heard this, that some of his staffs over the years have been subject to a lot of groupthink. There's been a hesitancy for people to disagree, you know. And listen, back in his Boston days, he had Tom Thibodeau and Lawrence Frank on the bench next to him. Those guys had no problem disagreeing with him and telling him what he thought. Dave Yeager should have been that kind of strong personality this year. But there's a tightness to this team. There's a tension. There's a fear of failure instead of trying to go out and make something happen. And Doc tried to change his ways a little bit in this series, but it was kind of too little too late. Now, he worked very hard this season, Doc, and he did a great job with his team in the regular season. He made it all about Embiid. But I do think we can put some blame on Doc, and I do put some blame on Doc. But I also think the team is conceived poorly. This is a team that was built with Ben Simmons as the point guard. The Ben Simmons point guard experiment is over. And I don't care what team he's on. Even if he ends up back in Philly, it's over. He's not a point guard. Doc was asked a question last night and frankly gave a very honest answer, which is, could he be the point guard on a championship team? Doc's answer was, I don't know, which is not a good answer for the Sixers organization. The better answer was, yes, if he puts in the work, he can be. That would have been the better answer. But Doc gave that answer, and it probably hurt Simmons' trade value when they go out and try to move him. But with that said, I do appreciate his candor because he gave a truthful answer to that question. By the same token, I think that Doc has some things to improve on and how he coaches in the playoffs. And I think for Doc Rivers here, based upon last year and this year, listen, last year Doc felt like he got the short end of the stick from the Clippers. And I don't think that he did, in the respect that from a work standpoint, he kind of felt like he could roll out the balls a little bit last year. I heard he played a lot of golf last year, you know, with that team where, you know, if Kawhi and George weren't practicing, they weren't practicing. But Doc changed his ways this year and was in the grind with these guys with the Sixers, and the results still weren't good. I think it's a lot more has to do with roster structure than it does Doc, but there's a lot of things Doc can improve on too, Crowder, to answer your question.
We're talking to Brian Geltzeiler here again. You can hear him on SiriusXM's NBA Radio. Follow him on Twitter at Hoops Critic. So what is the, because you mentioned there, you know, you don't see Ben Simmons with the Sixers next year. Like, what would the trade market be? Because that contract, Geltzy, is insane. It truly is, especially for a guy who in a Game 7 didn't attempt a field goal in the fourth quarter. What's the trade market like? I know it's early, but, like, how can you see that playing out?
All right, so let me throw a couple teams out to you, all right? I'll start with Portland, which is the most natural fit. If Philly thinks they can win next year with the right lead guard, C.J. McCollum could be that guy, and I think that's a type of package that you could see something happen. They might have to give Simmons plus because of the contract, and it might cost them Tyrese Maxey. If it does, it's probably worth it to them. That's kind of where this starts. But there are some other teams that I think, you know, listen, if I'm the Toronto Raptors, I call up Daryl Morey and say, Siakam, Anunoby, and Van Vliet stay. Anybody else, and we'll take Ben Simmons. I would do it. I'd pay him. And you put him there and play him as a .5 next to Siakam. And listen, he can play that position. The guy could guard five positions on the floor, Simmons. So to me, that's an interesting place for him. If I'm the Boston Celtics, I make a phone call to Daryl Morey and say, you know what, Tatum and Brown are staying. Anybody else on our roster, give us a combination thereof. We'll talk about it with you. And there's a lot of teams that are going to do stuff like that. The point is that it's not going to be a star-for-star trade. And you kind of need to see that and get through that. Do I think New Orleans would be an interesting team and get him there with Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram? Maybe. Will they go into the tax to do it? Probably not. So I don't know if that works from a financial standpoint, but from a basketball standpoint, and listen, guys, right where you are, there may be nothing better to cure what ails Ben Simmons than coming down and playing for Miami and being involved in the Heat program. And listen, I do think this, and I know your Miami fans that are listening are going to get mad at me. My buddy Frank Isola at NBA Radio refers it as culture club dust, that somehow guys show up in Miami, we sprinkle the culture club dust on them, and they miraculously transform. I don't know that it's that necessarily, but maybe Simmons learning how to do the right kind of work in Miami. And let's face it, the Heat have some assets. And if you kept Jimmy and you kept Bam Adebayo and you brought Ben Simmons there, you could have the top defensive team in the league, and Simmons really would be a dynamic weapon for them. And a guy, it's only 25 years old, the guy you have for the future. So, and the right kind of offer there that you would look at. I mean, Robinson's a free agent, it's going to have to get paid. Hero's value is not what he once was. And maybe you take, you know, some guys with some fallen value and swap them out for each other and see if it can work better in a different situation. So but this whole thought that you can't trade Ben Simmons for anything, there's going to be no market for him, nonsense. This guy's too athletic, he's too dynamic. But again, when you make a trade for him, it's going to happen. It can't be about what you think he can be. You have to be okay with trading for him for who he is. And who he is not a bad thing. It's just who he is a horrific fit with Joel Embiid in Philadelphia.
I think I speak for all Heat fans. We're good. We're good, Geltzy. We're good.
I have some vision, Solana. Have some vision.
Geltzy, I got to jump to the West, man, because those damn Clippers, they spotted the Mavs a 2-0 run and beat them in 7, spotted the Jazz a 2-0 series lead and beat them in 6. Now they're down 1-0 to a Chris Paul-less Suns. Can they spot this team 2 games and beat the Suns, especially if Chris Paul comes back, because I don't see it?
Well, not that they don't have Kawhi Leonard. They had Kawhi Leonard, they could. Keep in mind, they were down 2-0 in 2 series, and both of those series, they had Kawhi Leonard to get back to 2-2. So without Kawhi Leonard, I don't think they can. And what's a bummer for the Clippers is that was a gettable game yesterday.
Yeah.
That was right there for the taking. But I do think for the Clippers that injury-wise may have reached a critical mass yesterday. And I say that because Marcus Morris, in the absence of Leonard, has become a very important piece to that team. Even with Leonard, he was a very important piece because they were playing him as a small ball 5. And that worked really well in the Jazz series. And even when Marcus Morris didn't play a lot down the stretch of game six and they had Batum in there, because Gobert is a non-threat for the most part offensively outside the restricted area, they were able to get away with Batum being a de facto center for them. So in this series, DeAndre Ayton is much more athletic than Gobert, a much better offensive player, and you actually need Marcus Morris on the floor to guard him. Zubac is a sieve, man. The dude is a turnstile defensively. And so having him on the floor hurts you. And you saw when Morris was out in the second half, they played a lot more Zubac, and Devin Booker had a blast in the mid-range with the pick and roll, putting Zubac's man into it. And then you have DeMarcus Cousins, who may end up getting more minutes, but he's not exactly a defensive stopper either. So you don't have Ibaka here. You know, he's hurt. He's out for the playoffs, had back surgery. You really do need Morris in there to be who you want to be defensively, which is their best chance to win this series. Listen, Reggie Jackson's emerged and been terrific for them. Paul George, you know, the worst thing about Paul George is the best thing about Paul George. He's a bad shot maker. But what happens in a game like yesterday, he hits a bunch of bad shots, and then in the second half, he keeps taking bad shots. I thought George was tremendous in game six of that Utah series because Terrence Mann had the game of his life. Reggie Jackson played fantastic, and George deferred to those guys and set them up and was a little bit of a decoy. Even though he had 28 himself, he was a little bit of a decoy. So the Clippers kind of have to get back to that. But without Morris healthy, with Morris having a banged-up knee, this becomes a lot harder. And listen, give the Suns credit. They built this thing together. They went and traded for Chris Paul. They have some wonderful young players. And they're looking like they're going to go to an NBA final with that. They really are, because I find it hard to believe the Clippers are going to be able to take this series. And I don't think they're getting Leonard back in this series. One other thing, guys, that's very important. When we talk about the Phoenix Suns, yesterday they were carried by three players: Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and Mikal Bridges. What they all have in common is that former general manager, Ryan McDonough, drafted all three of those guys. He took Ayton as a number one pick over both Luka and Trae Young. And you know what? As great as Luka is right now, that's the right pick. Ayton's been terrific. Booker was a 14 pick and is frankly one of the best players in the league at this point. And Mikal Bridges, he traded a pick that he got from you guys in Miami in the Dragic deal. He threw that in with the 16 pick that year to move up to 10 to take Bridges. So he's done a fantastic job, and he's not there anymore, Ryan McDonough. And James Jones just won Executive of the Year, and that's why I mentioned that. And Jones did a very nice job in rounding out that team. The core of that team was put in place by Ryan McDonough, and I think he deserves a mountain of credit for it, even though he's working the media right now.
Yeah, it really is a good point by you, Geltsy, there. He's Brian Geltzeiler. Follow him on Twitter, @HoopsCritic. Send him selfies. @HoopsCritic on Twitter. Send him selfies.
I don't want no damn selfies. I promise you that.
Up getting blocked express.
Thank you. Thank you, Geltsy. I appreciate it.
Always my pleasure, guys. I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Yes, sir.
That's Brian Geltzeiler there of SiriusXM NBA Radio.
And I appreciate it. I don't want to, the fans, I don't want to. I appreciate it now. My Pretty Lou. Man's name is Pretty Lou. I actually met him before. I appreciate the selfies. I'm not discouraging fandom, but I just don't see it. But I got to give – now you got me giving shout-outs. Mario, appreciate you, brother. Now, I got to thank people for the selfies. I do appreciate it, but I don't understand selfies.
This turned out better than I expected. I mean, people, I'm looking here on Twitter. A lot of people are sending you selfies. A lot. There's a ton of selfies right now.
I'm sorry if I missed anybody, but I don't get it. I don't get it.
Geltsy's really good. Yeah. I don't think Heat fans are happy about him seeing – or saying, see the vision with Ben Simmons, though.
Ben's a talented defensive guy, but what we need a point guard that can create points. This dude is a
– right.
He said he's a stretch. Right. Geltsy just said he's a stretch four, but he can't stretch because he can't shoot. I don't know where you put him. I don't know where his position is.
I could have talked to Geltsy for an hour about this because there's so many – he said he's not a point guard anymore, right?
Oh, yes. We both agree.
Right, but then so what?
What is he?
Right. Yeah.
He's not a stretch anything. Am I wrong with stretch means you stretch the floor?
Yeah.
So he's not stretching any floors.
Also, nope. Also, does Jimmy even want him here?
No. Well, that's what I was gonna get to. We're gonna get more into this. Heat fans, don't turn the dial because we are with you. We don't want Ben Simmons here, and there is absolutely no way I'm going to try to craft some sort of trade for Ben Simmons. However, I tweeted out something yesterday about Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons, and I think it's fascinating. I'm going to ask Crowder this in the next segment on Hockman and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I'm not even kidding. I think Sandlot is a swimming movie.
Hawk and Crowder.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.